Hurricane Michael continues to show impact. Alex Workman is with me in the first hour to talk about recovery efforts in Mexico Beach. You don't want to miss that. Debbie Maroney will be talking about Alzheimer's Project. And the Willie Jam 5 is coming up with Alzheimer's Association fundraiser. Lots of cool things to talk about here today with Tallahassee Talks. You stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office. Merrymaids, call Merrymaids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
Once again, we are here for you, my friend, and glad that you joined us in this opportunity to talk more about what is important to this town. We call it Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny because, you know, people like to talk to me about the things that are important and we think are important enough to talk about. Whatever they're doing, it has bearing on not just what's happening, but more so who we are, kind of that. You know, I think a community is best defined by the things it gives to, right? The stuff it supports. And my goodness, we have a lot of great charitable organizations to support. That's true. And of course, I've got in this hour with me, I've got David Wheeler. He is here to talk about the Alzheimer's Association, his Willie Jam 5 fundraiser. It's happening at Fire Betty's. Is that what it's called? Let me pull up my info here, make sure I'm not telling you wrong. I think that's right. It's in Midtown. Yeah, Fire Betty's Arcade Bar. $20 minimum suggested donation. There's no cover charge. You have to be 21 or older. I mean, you know, Fire Betty's Arcade Bar. But in any case, you're going to have some great music. David will bring us up to date on all of that. And I started to say, you know, what we give ourselves to, what we support, it's an indication of who we are. The things we celebrate. Look at the festivals that are ours. So you got this other thing happening, and it's intended to support the work of Alzheimer's Project. So there's the association, and they're kind of working in the direction of research and services for those afflicted with Alzheimer's disease and other dementia disorders. Then you have Alzheimer's Project. Well, their focus is on all of those who are family members of those who are afflicted, who themselves bear the burden of caring for somebody who is afflicted. And that burden is enormous because it never ends. It's a 24/7. And because of the nature of the illness, supervision is required. You have to make sure that this person doesn't wander off. And I know that before my mother passed away many years ago, I mean, she'd be out driving somewhere and couldn't find her car. And she'd come back from shopping, or she'd call the house and not know where she was. You know, it was that kind of scenario for us as a family when I was much younger. but also for families now who themselves find the challenge so burdensome. Well, Alzheimer's Project is there to help ease that burden, to carry the load. And this upcoming festival, Blues, the Heart of Bluegrass, well, we're going to learn more about that in the second hour. I'm going to do a repeat of this conversation I had with Debbie Maroney and those folks who are a part of this whole thing. We've got Crossroad performing live on set here in studio with us. And Wayne Tate will tell us about how the festival all came together. You're going to enjoy that. That's all in the second hour. As I say, when you look at, around at what we consider important, what we celebrate, and what we find most important, not only for us individually, but for our community. What do we want to invest ourselves in? You know, watching the Willie Taggart talk show this last couple of weeks, there have been now two editions of the show. I have to be honest with you, it's been disheartening. You know, the loss that Florida State incurred in their opener with Boise State was, man, infuriating, painful, confusing. You know, all of our hopes and dreams and aspirations ended up laying there at the end of the game at midfield. And just wondering, oh, wow. There's just so many things that have been said thus far about everything that went wrong or what wasn't done properly and what we, you know, what we could have expected. But of course, all of that comes back on Coach Willie Taggart. That's how it goes, right? And no doubt the man is clear about that and well prepared for whatever comes. But just looking at some of the Twitter feeds, I mean, it's been pretty rough stuff, man. But I tell you what makes me even more, I guess, disappointed, it's the lack of attention to detail when you have a broadcast of the Willie Taggart talk show. And the simplest things that could be done to make that show even more viewable are just not done. And it boggles your mind. I mean, this is a coach who, if anything, needs to be presented in the best possible manner. This is Florida State football, for heaven's sakes. There is legacy here. There is history here. And yet this broadcast betrays all of that. It's so badly produced that you stop and wonder, was anybody brought in to consider how we could improve the quality? I'm talking about missed cues, bad lighting, the set design, camera angles. Oh man, it just really, really makes me sad, because we deserve better. We deserve to have broadcast, local broadcast production that lives up to the standard that is Tallahassee. No, we are not just a backwater, crossroads kind of dirt road town. No, we're not. We're the state capital of Florida, and we need to act like it, and we need to put out product in broadcast, in print, in organizational events. I mean, this is why people look around town and say, how come we don't have more conferences from our local chamber here in Tallahassee? Why are we not celebrating more of who we are, not just among ourselves, but across the way, for the state, for the region, for the country? You know, I have spent 40 years in this town, and I have made it my purpose to provide quality production, whether in radio or television. I have a magazine, Tallahassee Family Magazine, TFM. I dare you to find a better publication in this town. It is outstanding. Already, we have garnered a statewide award for the work. How about Moose Magnificat Radio? All local, all original songs, all the time. Who else is doing that? Online, with listeners across the world who are listening in to the Sound of Tallahassee. Why? Because we are worth it, and we're worth celebrating. That's who you are. You are part of Tallahassee and contributing in your own way in 2019.
The devastation is unparalleled in our history. The massive damage, displacement, and loss of life are staggering. The recovery will be long and painful. Hurricane Michael has left its mark with us forever. Through it all, the remarkable devotion of utility service personnel, emergency management leaders, law enforcement and first responders, community relief organizations, and the hundreds of volunteers bringing aid and comfort to thousands of people here and across the region has been nothing less than heroic. It's hard to know how to express our gratitude, but right here, right now, this is our heartfelt word of thanks to all of you, our heroes, the men and women who have stepped up and remain determined to win this fight, and no doubt will go on caring and serving. Thank you. From Sperry & Associates, planning, design, and construction since 1973. Online at sperryconstruction.com.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for another exciting segment with Nancy Dignon, My Weather View, brought to you by Plylox, the good people who make it possible for you to install and remove plywood coverings for your windows during severe weather. Yes, and don't you know it, during hurricanes like Dorian, and what may ever come our way in the future, hurricane clips from Plylox are a must-do solution. Simple to install and remove. I mean, it's just as easy as MCSP. Measure, cut, slide, push. And you can order a set of 20 for under $30. Online, Plylox. .com is the place to go, and they have a lot of instruction there for you. If you click on the How It Works segment of the website, they even have a video for you to kind of follow along and see how it's done. Doesn't matter if your house is wood frame or brick, you got metal window frames or wood frames, it'll all work because they have clips for various kinds of applications. Gee, what a thought. So you measure for your windows, right? That's step one. And they're going to walk you through that. And then cut the plywood. Now you can go with a quarter inch or 5/8 or half inch. And they've got a clip that'll fit that thickness of the plywood that you choose for your window. And depending on what you think is most appropriate. And I mean, you can go to the half inch, but a quarter inch might be sufficient. You might think so. Check with your contractor, perhaps, or with your local hardware store where you're going to buy your plywood. Whichever you choose to do, Plylox has you covered with the appropriate clip. You can even get them made of carbon steel or stainless steel. A standard clip is aluminum, works in most applications. So once you've got your window measured, then you're going to cut the plywood, and then you simply slide the clips onto the plywood sheet, and you're ready to go. Might need a helper to stand by with you, because the next step is to push the plywood sheet into the opening of the window. So now the window is covered, and you haven't had to drill holes or drive nails or anything of that sort, and when it's time, storm has passed, and you're ready to pull those clips out, well, they easily can be removed. You simply do so by pulling on the clip, and you just grasp the little tension leg of the Plylox clip with your thumb and index finger, and you pull it forward. This releases the pressure, the clip itself. Plywood is easily removed. ready to be stored away until next time. It's all courtesy of your good friends at Plylox. Rob Fee and his company, they do a fantastic job. You can order it online at their website, and they'll ship them out to you. Don't wait until it's too late, you know, when hurricane is descending upon you. Well, guess what? Yeah, so you're going to be waiting in line. Do it now, in between. Be prepared. That's what we're all about here. That's why we have a website called TallahasseePrepared.com to keep you abreast of all the needed things you need to do to stay prepared for severe weather, hurricane season, and beyond, because staying prepared is more than a season. It's an attitude. Here's Nancy Dignon.
Hi, I'm Nancy Dignon, and this is my weather view for this week. So you may have heard that the month of July 2019 was the hottest month on record. And the question then becomes, what does that mean? What is the hottest month on record? So we all know there are 12 months in a year, and they pick July, and they in particular pick July of 2019. Why? Because there are measures. There are temperature measures that have been done for over 100 years. And all of the years of their record keeping, they determined that the average temperature for the month of July on Earth, so it's a global average temperature, it came out to be 62.13 degrees Fahrenheit. And I know what you're thinking, 62 doesn't sound really hot. Remember, that's the average for an individual day. So you have a high of, 90, a low of 50, somewhere in between, you're about 60. Take into consideration the fact that here, in the Northern Hemisphere, we're summer, so we're hot. In the Southern Hemisphere, they're in the winter, they're cold, so they're offsetting. So globally on Earth, they came up with an average temperature for the entire month of July, a little over 62 degrees. Now, that is 1.71 degrees above average. Again, for the 100 years of weather records, they have done these kinds of data. You hear numbers all the time when they talk about weather. We're a number of people. We kind of like to pull them up and look at them and analyze them and then kind of review what happened this month, last year, and the same month, and, you know, in all the previous years. So is this a trend that we're starting to see? And that may really be more of the problem. The answer is yes. In fact, since 2005, we have seen 10 of the hottest years on record. Yes, we've had some really hot years in, you know, previous years. For example, in the 30s, they called it the Dust Bowl. We had some incredibly hot temperatures in the early 1930s. We're seeing a trend in the last couple of decades to some really warm temperatures. And some of the things, and you guys hear this stuff all the time, some of the things that contribute to this are the fact that a lot of people and a lot of us are breathing, and we breathe in oxygen, we give off carbon dioxide, and that gas, carbon dioxide, is really good at holding what we call infrared radiation. The bulk of it's coming from the Earth. So the Earth's a relatively cool object. It takes in some of that sunlight. It gives off what we call a longer wavelength, and that longer wavelength can be absorbed by carbon dioxide. With so many more people and so much more carbon dioxide, that actually is a contributor to the fact that we can raise the temperature. Then there are other things. There is waste heat. We're very industrialized. And so we have these other factors that are adding to it. And you may have noticed that even in the winter seasons, it doesn't seem to have been quite as cold as perhaps in previous years. And we have had many years, not just a month, but we have had many years, which have been some of the warmest on record. So things are changing. We talk about global warming. More importantly, we talk about climate change. There have been some changes. In theory, we're hoping that it's only a short-term change. Maybe it's just an adjustment like what we saw in the 30s, but right now we are more convinced that there are maybe some permanent changes taking place. So July 2019, the hottest average monthly temperature on record. Julys tend to be really, really hot. There are other cooling effects that happen in the months of August and September as we continue and end up going through the rest of summer, but it was a really hot one. If you thought that way, you were exactly right. This has been my weather view for this week, and I'm Nancy Dignon.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs, too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Well, for all of us, there has been that sense of detachment, I think. We've all kind of looked from this side over here in the Tallahassee area wondering, what's going on? Why is it that FEMA's money is being held up and questions of that kind? And what has been the individual personal impact? We've had a few folks on the show that have come to us with their own stories. And this morning we've got another. And that storyteller happens to be Alex Workman, our good friend, who with his company and the people that work with him have endeavored to bring us a little closer to the aftermath, not only the initial outcomes, but then what's been going on since. So let's welcome Alex Workman this morning. How are you, Alex?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. I'm going to continue to read a little bit of this copy. Michael was the strongest hurricane to ever make landfall in the Florida Panhandle and was the third strongest storm in U.S. history. The storm had its most dramatic impact on the small coastal town of Mexico Beach in Bay County. The storm leveled everything in its path. True that. Then comes the work of husband and wife team Alex Workman and his wife, Chelsea, whose father was a business owner in Mexico Beach. So this is not just some journalistic project for you. This is very personal.
Yeah, my father-in-law is a charter captain. He runs boats out of the Mexico Beach Canal, and I just remember him texting us photos of that his friends were sending us of what was happening to their community
in real time.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Watching a restaurant that we were eating at a few days before getting blown away on a Nest cam, and it just crazy stuff that you would think that, like, we were literally the weekend before playing on the beach with our kids,
and you sitting there trying to figure out how is this happening, the surreal, we use the word too loosely, but sure. The idea that your brain is going, is this fact or fiction?
Yeah, Michael was such a unique storm because Sunday evening there was this, there might be a tropical storm in the Panhandle or in the Gulf. And then Monday, okay, it looks like it's forming. And then Wednesday at 1 o'clock, this storm came on the coast. So we're talking with a matter of a couple days. And my wife and I were actually out of town at the time. We were in Atlanta on that weekend just visiting family. And we're like, oh no, we have to go home.
Wow.
Because we have to make sure our house is okay.
Yeah.
Because if we're talking 15, 20 miles to the east, like who knows what Tallahassee would look like right now. So
that is the one statement I think that a lot of our guests have reiterated. They have said, you realize how narrow that margin was.
And I grew up in South Florida, so hurricanes were like a fact of life.
I
remember Hurricane Andrew hit when I was going into kindergarten. I actually missed my first week of elementary school because of Hurricane Andrew, but I just remember the craziness of even a Category 2 hurricane.
So
my wife and I came home. We actually boarded up the windows of our house and we left because for us, we have two small children. Just just the fact, like, it sounds really diva-ish now, but like, I don't want to deal with no power with two kids, right?
Well,
So we drove down to Gainesville, but I remember I was boarding up my house, and this lady walks by walking her dog, and she said, "You must be a Boy Scout, ha ha, be prepared," and kind of just laughed and walked away.
Yeah.
And I at least hope that Michael brought perspective to the people in our community of preparation.
You think about that in terms of what we're used to in this region and the idea that a hurricane could have this kind of impact. Well, we haven't seen that locally for some time, or perhaps ever. We didn't see swaths of forests wiped out and houses and businesses, buildings being leveled. Nothing of that kind.
You can actually see Michael's path from a satellite. Hmm. It's pretty interesting. And the reality is, we're not very far away from where so many people lost everything. You had 19 feet of storm surge in some areas. Mm-hmm. That means like you had second story. You had waves going through the second story of people's homes.
Well, and speaking of images, I know that as a creative team, that's your focus right now. Sure. Tell us about the project that you've engaged.
Yeah, so we just had this idea that we needed to do something. I think oftentimes after disaster, people are asking these questions or saying, "Man, I wish someone would do something," or "I wish I could do something." And so we made the decision we need to do something. We didn't really know what that was at the time. We made some t-shirts and we thought we'd sell some shirts and figure out where that money needs to go. We didn't know at the time. We didn't really know what we were doing. I think so many great ideas don't ever come to fruition because we don't have step 3, 4, and 5, and that prevents us from taking step 1. Mm-hmm. And so we sought out to sell some shirts. We partnered with one of the greatest graphic designers in our city. His name's Jesse Taylor. He is incredibly talented, and he and I... he actually sent me a direct message on Instagram as I was driving to Atlanta after we checked our house and said, "Hey, man, I'd love to collaborate with you on something totally different in his mind." And I said, "Dude, call me right now. I have an idea." Wow. I was in this creative rut. I was trying to sketch out ideas for a shirt. And we ended up connecting over the weekend and having coffee that next Monday morning. Mm. So like less than a week after the storm, we had launched this project.
And are you wearing one of the shirts?
I am. Yeah. So this, it's kind of become my uniform.
Since it's radio, I'll say this is the outline of the state of Florida, and then intertwined is this heart shape that happens to intersect right there at the Mexico City Beach area. Pretty clever and easy to comprehend, I would say. One glance and you get it.
Yeah, the idea, Jesse, when he had called it Forever Florida, and the idea being the heart kind of has this infinity look, and this idea that the community of Mexico Beach is resilient.
Yeah.
They're going to outlive Michael, and they're going to look very different. But it's amazing to see the resilience of people who literally lost everything.
So this campaign began with you capturing portraits and telling the stories of these refugee families, and that led to the creation of the Never Forgotten Coast campaign, right?
Yeah, so we started out just selling t-shirts, and we figured, like, we're going to give this money to someone. We weren't quite sure where that was going, because at the time, there really weren't any 501c3s operating in Mexico Beach.
Right.
And we ended up having an incredible lunch with the folks at the Mexico Beach Artificial Reef Association, and they changed their bylaws and mission to be able to support disaster relief. And so what we decided to do is I was doing some research and talking with some great friends, Gray Dodge, Aaron Gillespie. I know Aaron's been on your show before. And we were just talking about what a micro grant looks like. There was some neighborhoods in Houston after Harvey that would interject $1,000 to $2,000 to select businesses over in a small geographical area, and saw an exponential decrease in recovery time. And this idea came to me that the greatest way to see long-term recovery is economic recovery. If we can get people back to work, then we're not picking and choosing like who's a winner and loser within a community, but we're saying we're going to affect an entire region. So we can see people come back to
with
work.
With the micro grant idea, it sounds like that would be even more efficient because you can be targeted in how you want those dollars to be used at that moment, right?
Yeah, so the reality is, the businesses could apply for these grants, and the only stipulations were they had to be in business before October 10th, 2018. They had to be within the city limits of Mexico Beach, and they had to make a commitment to do everything they could to open by the end of 2019.
Very cool.
And so from now, we've given, 35-ish grants away. We've been able to see a number of those businesses open back up, and we've been able to see people become employed again. And it's easy to think, man, $1,000 is not going to make or break somebody.
Sure.
But what that allows someone to do is, for a restaurant that their building's under construction, it allows them to put a down payment on a trailer so they can operate in the parking lot. Or for a hotel who knows that it's going to be a 2-year rebuild, it allows them to already engage and put a deposit with an engineer or an architect while they're fighting with their insurance company.
Very cool.
So it allows these businesses to get a two to three month head start instead of waiting for that insurance money to come in. They're able to get the ball rolling. And so we've been able to see how a number of businesses in the community have been able to get up is much quicker than in other areas.
That's excellent. It's called Never Forgotten Coast Campaign. We've got one half of this husband and wife team with us here this morning, Alex Workman and his wife, Chelsea. You stay with me. We've got more right after this.
Children are curious and eager learners. Young children learn best when they experience life firsthand in play. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program knows how to spark their innate desire to find out, figure out, and solve problems through the course of everyday events. Their teachers provide the expert guidance children need to capture and extend their natural eagerness to learn. If you want your child to learn and grow in a safe environment that promotes lifelong learning, call FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program today or visit them online at childcare.fsu.edu. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program, working together to provide every child with a rich learning environment. Call today, 850-644-7970. 850-644-7970.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
The Alzheimer's Association was founded by Jerome H. Stone with the help of several family members in Chicago, Illinois, and incorporated in April of 1980. And it was entitled the Alzheimer's Disease and Related Disorders Association, Inc. It's a nonprofit American volunteer health organization focusing on care, support, and research for Alzheimer's disease. Locally, we are fortunate to have able folks who are professional, most of whom are volunteer, to help us not only better understand the plight that is Alzheimer's disease, but to carry the torch and to encourage all of us to do the same. We have one of those folks with us here, David Wheeler, who is the communications chair for Tallahassee Walk to End Alzheimer's and is the host and organizer for a nifty little thing called Purple Willie Jam 5. So you would conclude then that this is the fifth, after having had four others, this is now the fifth Purple Willie Jam. It's coming up Friday, September 13th. That's just like next week. Pretty much runs all evening. And I mean, you're going to have a great time. So it goes from 6:45 to 11:30. There's a suggested $20 at the door, a donation that will go to help Alzheimer's Association raise money. And in doing so, provide patient and caregiver support, yes, but as well the much-needed research to understand better, even to the point that one day, the hope is, a cure can be found. Let's welcome to the show David Wheeler. How are you, sir?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Glad to have you back. I know that you have been carrying that torch for some time. I can tell because I can see the calluses on your hand. So let's talk about some of the music here. You got Hot Tamale, Rags and Tinder, the Fried Turkeys. Those guys are like, well, their little handle is Greasy Hippie Roots Country. I love that. Indeed they are, Fried Turkeys. And then our beloved Jerry Thigpen Trio. Yeah, well, come on. So you're going to have kind of a nice cross sampling of music.
A little bit of everything. A little bit country, a little bit rock and roll, a little Americana, a little blues.
I love it. So this whole idea of a Purple Willie Jam, what is that all about? Where's that come from?
Years ago, I was helping with the Tallahassee Music Week, and I had learned just enough about music events and event organizing. I had just enough knowledge to be dangerous and thought I could pull this off. Nobody told me I couldn't, so I took a shot at it. I thought, if I can find a venue, we get a couple of bands to donate their performance, we raise a few hundred dollars, nobody gets hurt, nobody gets sued, we have a good time. Hey, why not? Wouldn't it be fun? Maybe we can do this.
I love the part, nobody gets sued. That today's world, that is...
Well, you always have to think about these things. So
the litigious world in which we live.
So the first year, with all kinds of complications, we managed to have it. And lo and behold, when all the numbers were crunched, I'd netted $1,500, and I was just over the moon about it.
Imagine, yeah.
And year two, $1,700 year two. Year three, $2,800. And last year, $2,000. Last year, I lost my longtime venue when Crew de Gras went out of business.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But I've partnered with the good folks at Fire Betty's Arcade Bar, and they've just been wonderful to us.
Who's going
to
run sound for you that night?
Jeff is their sound guy.
Nice.
And he's their booking and sound manager, and he will manage it.
For those of us who are on that side of the business, that is a big deal because, man, you can have the best in town, and if the guy doesn't know what he's doing behind that board, gets to be dicey. Well, that's cool. So great lineup, great history. Now, part of that history is your father.
Right.
Who is basically the sort of namesake here, isn't
exactly.
he? So your father's name was Lemoyne C. Willie Wheeler.
His buddies in military school hung that on him.
Ah.
And
Willie Wheeler.
Willie Wheeler. And
so we have Purple Willie Jams.
Right.
Okay.
Well, Willie, when he left Manlius and went to Penn, one of his buddies from Manlius was already there and already an ATO and rushed him and pledged him. And so Willie stuck all through college.
Gotcha.
And that was kind of his nickname ever since.
Early part of the last century, he was a student at University of Pennsylvania around 1925. Your dad, and who himself suffered...
Oh, boy.
With Alzheimer's.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And it was especially insidious for a guy like Lemoyne. He was a brilliant guy. He was a funny guy. He was the guy you wanted to sit next to at a dinner party because he knew enough about everything that he could talk about anything. And when he could go from being that to somebody who didn't understand that dinner was going to be a little late, you know, that's what really hurts.
Yeah.
It hurt him. It hurt us.
Yeah.
Taking care of him nearly killed my mother.
Yeah.
And I would say it was a blessing that his heart valve probably failed before the Alzheimer's got too far advanced.
So here you go, creating this annual event in his honor, but at the same time, in light of this enormous battle, I mean, to continue to push forward in the face of this relentless enemy. Now, you've served in a number of different capacities.
I first did the walk in 2014.
Okay.
That's all I did. I did the walk.
I
raised a few hundred dollars. And I said, if I don't get selected for something I've applied for, another community event.
Right.
I'll be on the committee next year.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
So I've been on there the committee every year since 2015.
It's called Purple Willie Jam. Purple, of course, being the color for Alzheimer's, nationally recognized there. Again, it's happening on September 13th. That's a Friday night. This coming, 6:45 to 11:30 at Fire Betty's Arcade in Midtown. Don't just give them $20. Give them $100. These guys that are playing, they're all donating their time. Fire Betty's is down with them, helping them out as a co-sponsor. You're going to have a great time. Full bar, food service, the whole thing. And there's a silent auction included and a 50-50 raffle. So come on. You're going to have a great night, a great time helping fight the cause that is Alzheimer's Association, helping them carry forward. And your good friend, David Wheeler, who's put a lot of heart and soul into this. David, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Brian.
So there you have it. Purple Willie Jam 5 coming up the 13th of September. Our good friend, David Wheeler. Remember, there is no cover, but a suggested donation of at least $20 is appreciated. Must be 21 or older to participate. Stay with me, folks. Coming up after the top of the hour, I've got more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
The devastation is unparalleled in our history. The massive damage, displacement, and loss of life are staggering. The recovery will be long and painful. Hurricane Michael has left its mark with us forever. Through it all, the remarkable devotion of utility service personnel, emergency management leaders, law enforcement and first responders, community relief organizations, and the hundreds of volunteers bringing aid and comfort to thousands of people here and across the region has been nothing less than heroic. It's hard to know how to express our gratitude, but right here, right now, this is our heartfelt word of thanks to all of you, our heroes, the men and women who have stepped up and remain determined to win this fight, and no doubt will go on caring and serving. Thank you. From Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945, online at widenglass.com.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Here we are in the second hour of this here fine radio show. Don't forget, you can find us online at TallahasseeTalks.com anytime when you want to check the archive. If you want to check out what's going on around town, we've got a community page there for you. You can email us with a suggested topic or guest. Topics at TallahasseeTalks.com is the place to do that. Send us an email. We always like hearing about your suggestions. You know, in the second hour, I'm going to do a repeat of the conversation we had with Debbie Maroney, Wayne Tate, talking about this nifty fundraiser for Alzheimer's Project, Heart of Bluegrass. It's coming up the 14th out there at Jubilee Orchards. You're going to learn all about that again with these great musicians, Crossroad. They'll be with us here performing live on set. I think you're going to enjoy it. Great musicians they are. And if you would bear with me, let me tell you a little bit more, too, about our prepared promotion. Since we are now in the wake of Hurricane Dorian, made its way finally up through the along the east coast of Florida, on its way up further north, there are a number of communities that have incurred massive damage. The record amount of damage in the Bahamas is just unfathomable. I mean, the photos coming out of there look like a war zone. You know, I mean, in effect, if you look at the amount of mass, the force involved with hurricane winds at 185 miles an hour? Yeah, I mean, it's like a bomb going off, except it hung around for several days. You know, if weather could be good, bad, or evil, this is it just seems so devilish, doesn't it? You know, it was like, it's not enough that I come along and hit you. Now I'm just going to stand here and pummel you to death. And there have been record number of deaths recorded. I think the last count was somewhere around 20, maybe more. Probably will continue to climb. It's disheartening in some respects when we think about how modern we are in our abilities to predict the weather comparatively, right? Even 60, 70 years ago or beyond, but even within our lifetime, within my lifetime, we didn't know as much as we know now and didn't have the capacity to know. We didn't have the technology to know. I think about that, how you and I were informed, a couple of weeks out or more. Hey, this thing could become sizable enough to be a threat, and it could come our way. So we've known that, giving us an ample amount of time to prepare. Well, that's the key, isn't it? Staying prepared for severe weather, hurricanes, and other kinds of things that happen all the time. And that's why we created Tallahassee Prepared. You find us online at TallahasseePrepared.com. It's one of the four promotions that we do throughout the year to try to help contribute better to the needs of our friends and neighbors and families, neighborhoods. Staying prepared for severe weather is a smart thing to do. And we have some very smart people in this town, Kevin Peters, among them, Leon County's emergency manager over there. Great guy, and working hard, his whole crew. I'm impressed. Leon County, man, the guys have it together. Got another notice from them. This has to do with solid waste, hazardous waste, household hazardous waste. It's what they do often. Repeatedly, Leon County residents encouraged to come out today, September 7th, between 9 and 1. So if you're listening to this show on the radio, you're on your way over there now. Good for you. You have till 1 o'clock today to bring household wastes and electronics to the Public Works Operations Center, which is right there at the corner of Blairstone and Miccosukee. And when you dispose of hazardous waste in this fashion, you avoid the possible pollution of our local natural environment. Because you know what? Chemicals and other such things, engine oil, right? I mean, that gets down into the water, groundwater, and into the soil. That is not cool, my friend. Or if they end up in a landfill, right, yeah. No, so don't do that. Go do this. Go to the waste disposal facility there, Blairstone and Miccosukee, and they'll be able to handle aerosols and hair colors, fluorescent bulbs, and nail polish remover, all this kind of stuff, hazardous chemicals, cleaners, drain cleaners and such, and, you know, metal and furniture polish. Or if you've got some old garage items, like I said, motor oil is what I was trying to say, gasoline, fuel oil, antifreeze, any of that stuff, batteries and electronics, ink cartridges and CDs and, you know, all those VHS tapes that you've been hanging on to. Well, it's time to recycle those puppies. Anyway, do that now today through till 1 o'clock. Hazardous waste. What's they're saying here? Oh, be a hazardous waste superhero. I love that idea. Okay, so in fact, when we look around town, we're heading into the season of the year when things get even more, seems to be more active. You got more festivals coming at you. You got things like the TC Chorus concert schedule coming up. We love those folks. And you've got the Artist Series schedule coming up. All kinds of performances going on. And other festivals that will be coming our way. And you want to make sure that you're prepared for the holidays coming, right? So a good way to do that is to check around your house and say, what is it that I can do to improve the quality of my home? One of the best ways you can do that, especially with the idea that guests will be arriving, perhaps you have family that's going to come for the holidays. Well, have you looked in the bathroom lately? Have you considered that you really need to do an upgrade? So our friends at Wooden Glass want you to know it's time to shower up. And you don't want to wait until November to get this done. This is the time of year when you need to talk to Wooden Glass about upgrading by installing a bath or shower enclosure that's going to add not only value, but a tremendous amount of convenience and attractiveness. It's all there available at Wooden Glass. So, with the holidays coming, Wooden Glass would say it's time to shower up. This is a company that's 75 years old and started in 1945, so that's 74 years. Jack Wooden and Company, still doing it the way they've done it always. They're the real glass people. If you want to talk about glaciers, well, these are the people who know how to work with glass in the way that glass best can be used architecturally, structurally, and in your home with great results. Check them out online. Woodenglass.com is the place to go. Or you can call them at 850-222-5781. Stay with me.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Founded in 1991, the Alzheimer's Project serves as a primary resource for communities across the Big Bend as they deal with the financial and emotional devastation wrought by Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia. The focus of the Alzheimer's Project is to support caregivers and those living with dementia in maintaining a dignified quality of life. It is a vital resource for this community and for the many, many people, thousands of people that they continue to serve and care for throughout the year, year after year. Now going on this remarkable legacy, starting back in 91, we have with us the person who, if you want to know about Alzheimer's Project, can tell you, and that's Debbie Maroney. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, thank you.
Glad to have you here with us on this occasion. And I know I've got some more notes about how great you are, but I also want to introduce to our audience Wayne Tate, who is equally as magnanimous in his talents and resources. And this is a guy who, if you don't know, doesn't sit around a lot. he's always on the run doing something else to help somebody else. That's the word I've gotten. That's what's out there on the street, Wayne. But welcome to the show.
Well, thanks. I'm glad to be here.
And Wayne, you are in business for yourself, right? You have the name of the company, Tate?
Yes, I'm in business. I'm a building contractor.
There we go.
I'm in business with a good friend of mine. His name is Hans Schroeder.
Okay.
And we've been doing business in Tallahassee for over 25 years.
Look at that. And in your spare time, you find it possible for you to help people like Debbie and Alzheimer's Project. And you have this very nifty fundraiser coming up here on the 14th of September. So it's only a couple of weeks away. That's a Saturday, folks. 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And it's called Heart of Bluegrass. This being the fourth annual benefit for the Alzheimer's Project. This year being held at Jubilee Orchards That's not easy to say. Jubilee Orchards out there on Miccosukee Road. We're going to learn all about this wonderful project, this particular concert. It's really more of a festival, isn't it? Heart of Bluegrass, that features some remarkable talent, and we've got some of those remarkable musicians with us today, a group called Crossroad. So we're going to get to hear some of their music in this hour, aren't we?
Yep.
Wayne, how'd you get involved in doing all this?
Well, you know, it's kind of a long story, and I don't know if we have time for it or not, but I'll try to give you the short version. About 10 years ago, we did a special benefit for a fellow named Larry Rice, who was he was affected not by Alzheimer's, but he was dealing with a lot of medical bills and issues when he was fighting lung cancer. And we did a special benefit for Larry, you know, to raise some money to help with that. And that was kind of the start of it. And that was initially started by a fellow named Lee Kotick, you know, who was good friends with Larry. Mm-hmm. So that was the beginnings of the Heart of Bluegrass. It wasn't called Heart of Bluegrass then, but it was a bunch of local Tallahassee musicians getting together and using their, you know, their knowledge of the industry and all their good friends and getting together, putting on a concert and raising some money to help Larry out. And,
wow.
Then a couple of years later, it progressed into the Heart of Bluegrass, where it was a group of local musicians getting together and, you know, giving their time and talent. You know, all these people that are going to be at that concert are doing this for free.
That's remarkable. Folks, as promised, I want to take a few minutes here. We're going to listen to the first installment from Crossroad. They are here live on set with us here at Tallahassee Talks. So let's take a moment and we'll enjoy the music of Crossroad.
One, two, three, four.
Sweet baby's on. Gonna lay around the shack till the mail train come back. Rollin' in my sweet baby, rollin' in my sweet baby, rollin' in my sweet baby's on. Rolling my sweet baby's on. Gonna lay around the shack till the mail train come back. Rolling my sweet baby's on.
Mama can weave and spin. Your daddy on the part of that old cotton mill, watching that money roll in, roll in my sweet baby's arm. Roll in my sweet baby's arm. Gonna lay around the shack till the mail train come back. Roll in my sweet baby's arm.
devastation is unparalleled in our history. The massive damage, displacement, and loss of life are staggering. The recovery will be long and painful. Hurricane Michael has left its mark with us forever. Through it all, the remarkable devotion of utility service personnel, emergency management leaders, law enforcement and first responders, community relief organizations, and the hundreds of volunteers bringing aid and comfort to thousands of people here and across the region has been nothing less than heroic. It's hard to know how to express our gratitude, but right here, right now, this is our heartfelt word of thanks to all of you, our heroes. The men and women who have stepped up and remain determined to win this fight, and no doubt will go on caring and serving. Thank you. From Super Signs, your best source for lighted signs, banners, and yard signs, now in their new location, just south of Mahan Drive at 3025 Nathan Lane, and online at yoursupersigns.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Folks, we're back. We're talking about Alzheimer's Project, the great work that they do, this upcoming festival, Heart of Bluegrass, which is going to be fantastic, September 14 at Jubilee Orchards. You want to make sure that you're there, and more so, you want to make sure that you support the work of Alzheimer's Project. I've got Debbie Maroney. You're the executive director for... Right? Is that your proper title? I want to make sure I got that right.
I am.
Yeah, be careful because I'm dangerous. What does that involve for you?
Well, primarily, I do the oversight of the entire program, and I'm responsible for ensuring that we have enough funding from various sources to actually.
It always comes
be
back
able to
that,
do,
doesn't it? Yeah.
Yes, to implement the program and to have quality services.
Yeah. Many people who have come back to us and said Alzheimer's Project is fantastic in the way that you care for folks.
Well, we care for folks like they're our own family. Mm-hmm. You become very attached both to the caregiver and to the person living with dementia because we serve both. Mm-hmm. The caregiver really is the invisible patient because they are the ones that are doing taking care of them, their loved one. They have the emotional responsibility, the financial responsibility, and the physical responsibility for those living with the disease. And so we want to make sure that they have all the support that they can get, that they learn to take care of themselves first, take your oxygen first, so that you can really provide a safe, caring environment for your loved one,
indeed,
the person living with the disease.
Indeed. And you know, the thing about Alzheimer's, too, and any sort of dementia, right, is that it robs the individual of awareness and identity and recollection, the way in which the affliction proceeds, it doesn't get better. It gets
worse. No, it's a long journey, and we know that in the end, you know, it's a death sentence. There's not a cure at this point, but our job is, and what we see as our job, is to make the most out of life and the skills that people have retained,
right,
so that they can have a quality of life and that the folks around them can really interact in a positive way.
Right. And most typically, it's going to be a spouse, right? So, and that spouse, as you say, is in most situations, for the long haul.
And it could be a spouse, it could be a child, an adult child.
Yeah.
We have the sandwich generation, the families that the caregiver's taking care of young children and their adult parent. We also have millennials who are now caregiving, and you know, they're on a course of their own for their life, and all of a sudden they have to slam on the brakes because they need to care for their parent. So it affects the entire family and those, even friends, because friends also become involved in helping to care for a person living with the disease.
The Alzheimer's Project, this is telling me, started back in 91. That came about through a few individuals. Tell us a little bit of the history.
It started at St. Paul's United Methodist Church. Reverend Fletcher was really concerned about caregivers in their church, and so he wanted to make sure that there was a support system in place, a respite, so that caregivers could have 6 hours in that. At that time, I think it was a month for themselves. And out of that grew the Alzheimer's Project. We now have respite 5 days a week in Tallahassee. We have it in Wakulla 1 day a week, and Gadsden County a day a week, and in Port St. Joe twice a month, and soon to have another day here in Leon. So it really evolved into a program that provided respite, support groups, we're a resource center. I mean, we're doing the full gamut
I've now. Noticed that. You've got a lot of different ways in which you interface and help support these caregivers. The respite means they get a day away?
They get 6 hours for that away from the person that they're
caring for
right. to do whatever they need to do, whether that's to take a bubble bath or go to the doctor themselves. We know that 30 to 60% of caregivers die before their loved one because of the stress and the health issues they develop. So we want them to take care of themselves. And for the person living with the disease, who we don't want to forget, has 6 hours of structured activities to do and to interact with people that are in the same situation as they are.
So this works in this way, that if I'm the caregiver and I'm caring for my spouse, then I bring my spouse to your facilities, mm-hmm. and I'm free to go and do what I'm going to do, but I know that my loved one is being cared for properly and in a way that is proactive, it sounds like, very engaging.
And well, we want them to be active. We want them to maximize those skills that they've retained. And that's one of the reasons the part of bluegrass is so important,
right?
Because it helps us fund music therapy.
How much do the families have to pay for these services?
Well, everything is free, although we do ask for donations from our families.
Right.
Because if they were to have this service somewhere else, it's very costly.
Okay, folks, notice she said everything is free. So what you're going to do is you're going to take $20 out of your wallet. You're going to buy a ticket for the Heart of Bluegrass. It's coming up September 14, Jubilee Orchards. Wayne Tate is here to talk about that. And we've got Crossroad, amazingly talented group of folks right here from Tallytown, our very own Crossroad. Let's take another listen. We'll have some more fun when we come back. You stay with me.
I've seen you smile, fill a room with light, felt your love burn through a cold winter's night. You're like a raging fire when I hold you tight, just as sure as you walk through that door, something changed. You don't smile, don't even look my way. I try to hold you close, you ain't got nothing to say. When I look in your eyes, it's just as clear as day. You're not the same, I don't know who to blame, but something's changed. Something changed.
Something so afraid that my face will betray.
Something's changed.
Hey, I knew just as soon as you walked in that room,
something changed. Something changed. There ain't no cure for this kind of hurt.
Ain't no drug made by man that'll even work.
Hey, I knew just as soon as you walked in that room, something changed. Something changed. Something changed.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio. And you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
All right, we're back in this final segment of the show. We're talking with Wayne Tate. And here, let me give you this too. Clay Hess Band. They're amazing. Kenny and Amanda Smith. Blue Holler. Oh, my goodness. Who else we have here? Flathead String Band. These guys will kill you dead. They're so good.
Well,
I mean,
with the with Clay Hess has become a friend of mine over the last couple of years.
Really?
Clay was the lead guitar player for Ricky Skaggs. Everybody's heard of Ricky Skaggs.
Yep.
And he won, you know, a couple Grammy Awards when he was with
Remarkable.
Kentucky Thunder.
Remarkable.
That, you know, Kenny Smith, guitar player of the year with the IBMAs on two occasions.
Wow.
Again this year in the top five and has been for the last 10 years. So he's Clay and Kenny, probably two of the best acoustic guitar players in the world.
Remarkable.
If you have an opportunity to come,
Remarkable.
You need to come hear them.
You know, folks, if there's anything about the Southland that we love, it's going to be bluegrass. And certainly that's not exclusive to the South, but buddy, if you're not at this festival, get out of town. You don't belong here. Come to Heart of Bluegrass, Jubilee Orchard, September 14. Now, you want to bring yourself a lawn chair because, yeah, it's outdoors, right? Think about this. $20. This is a festival that goes from 11 until 8 o'clock that night, headlined by some of the best top bluegrass and Americana artists on the planet. Bottom Dollar Boys is going to be there, and our beloved Bell and Mickey. Yeah, remember Bell and the band? Well, you know, the band, I don't know what happened, but Bell and Mickey are going to be there, and this very fine group of young folks, Crossroad. Yeah, man, they're the bomb. So it's all happening because we want to help the people who help those caring for the victims of Alzheimer's. It's called the Alzheimer's Project. Debbie, for you, this is a very personal mission.
Well, it's become very personal because since I've come to the project, I have a sister and a brother-in-law who have been diagnosed with dementia, and a sister who has been diagnosed with Parkinson's. So it's really come home full force for us. But it's something that, if you get involved, I mean, you'll love the caregivers, you love those that are living with the disease,
yeah,
and you want to see everybody smile and joyful.
You know, we've talked a little bit about what you guys do. Let me give you a little bit, too, that's coming up out of the research. By 2025, Wayne, and that's just 6 years away, the number of Floridians age 65 and older with Alzheimer's dementia will be is estimated to reach 720,000. That's almost 29% increase from what is the 2018 assessment, where it was about 560,000 age 65 and older. Here's another factoid. More than 1.1 million Floridians provide a total of 1.29 billion hours of unpaid care for people with Alzheimer's or other dementias. The cost of informal unpaid care by Floridians is valued at more than $16.5 billion. So the numbers begin to make even more daunting the task at hand, because in your world, day by day, hour by hour, this is a problem that's increasing.
It's increasing, and we're going to see it snowball. I mean, it's gonna continue to affect every family. It doesn't matter where you live, what your socioeconomic group is, or anything else. You have no control over it. And when you think about, if you're sitting in a room with your friends, one in three of those folks, if they're over 65, are going to have Alzheimer's or dementia.
Okay, so we need to step up, be a part of Heart of Bluegrass, September 14th at Jubilee Orchards. Wayne, I notice here it says, you know, bring the lawn chair. Food and beverages will be available. So we are going to make sure people know this is a family-friendly environment. So be on your good behavior, folks, okay? And, you know, they'll probably ask me a lot of questions if they let me in. I don't know. But
children under 12 are free.
Ah, well, that good. That's I need adult supervision, though. I'm just saying. Respectfully, no pets, okay? So unless you have a service animal, I would imagine that would be okay. But we don't need you bringing Fido out there jumping around and spilling people's, you know, drinks and stealing ice cream cones and stuff. So let's not do that. If you want to find out more about the festival, simple enough. Go to the website, heartofbluegrass.org. Wayne Tate will be looking for you on that beautiful Saturday from 11 to 8. And I know Debbie will probably be at the ticket counter.
I'll be there. I don't know if I'll be at the ticket counter, but I will be there.
And you know, $20, that's kind of like the token. If you want to give them 40, give them 100. And then Debbie, you'll see the tears start to form. Maybe even Wayne. And Wayne will be smiling. Debbie will be crying. It'll be great. Folks, we're going to take this last moment of the show to bring you more of this fantastic group, Crossroad. They are our guests live here on set with Tallahassee Talks. I'll just tell you this. We are the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment here in Tallahassee, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat, Tallahassee's only radio station playing all locals, all original, all the time. You'll find us online at moosemagnificat.com if you want to hear the sound of Tallahassee. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna get up out of the ground. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Now go down yonder, Gabriel, put your foot on land and sea. Oh, Gabriel, don't you blow that trumpet till you hear from me. Well, I look way over yonder, and what do you think I see? I see a band of angels, and they're coming after me. Well, I looked on down the river, saw people dressed in white. They must have been God's people, cause I saw them doing right. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna get up out of the ground. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. going down to the River Jordan. Gonna bury my knees in the sand. I'm gonna holler out Hosanna till I reach the promised land. Well, I look way over yonder, and what do you think I see? Well, I see a band of angels, and they're coming after me. Well, I looked on down the river, I saw people dressed in white. They must have been God's people, cause I saw them doing right. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna get up out of the ground. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down.
Children are curious and eager learners. Young children learn best when they experience life firsthand in play. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program knows how to spark their innate desire to find out, figure out, and solve problems through the course of everyday events. Their teachers provide the expert guidance children need to capture and extend their natural eagerness to learn. If you want your child to learn and grow in a safe environment that promotes lifelong learning, call FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program today or visit them online at childcare.fsu.edu. FSU Child Care and Early Learning Program, working together to provide every child with a rich learning environment. Call today, 850-644-7970. 850-644-7970.